Hey guys, this is All Things Timbo, episode 2. First of all, I want to thank everybody for playing, listening to the first episode. We're over 400 plays and the feedback and the love has been crazy. And I want to thank everybody for that. Also, no Adele, my co-host, is not here. I'm here with DJ, yeah. DJ Jackson, really good friend of mine and actually someone who's going to Peru with me for ayahuasca. And he's probably going to drop in all the time, so... you'll get to know him. You want to tell him a little bit about yourself?
You'll find out. How about that? No. Right. No, I'm just a really introspective person. I like to view the world in different views. I'm really open-minded, so I'd like to be at a lot of the podcasts and experience some other views, kind of get a outlook on that stuff.
Yeah, that's cool. Just so you guys know, we have the upcoming guests on the website at allthingstimbo.com now. Sunday, we have Ryan Pliskota, a Milwaukee artist who... How would you describe his art?
It's out of this world.
Yeah, it is out of this world. It's awesome.
He uses really kind of dark and mysterious colors to make a very beautiful picture. I've seen some of his artwork, and I can vouch for it. It's really, really good.
Yeah, you're picking one up. I got one for the studio. And he'll be on here Sunday, so I'm looking forward to that. We also have, in the future, a CrossFitter and ex-bodybuilder who knows everything there is to know about working out, mobility, nutrition, stuff like that. We have someone from Milwaukee Bitcoin coming to talk Bitcoin and teach you guys and spread awareness about Bitcoin and how it can change the world. One of my best friends who fell victim to opiates... and made it out alive. He'll be on here too. So we have a lot of guests coming on. We have a psychedelic adventurer coming on. He's done just a little bit about of everything. So yeah. Well, what's on your mind, DJ?
What's on my mind? A lot is always on my mind. That's the real problem. Especially I've actually been trying to meditate lately, and I found that it's actually really hard to turn your mind off.
For me, meditation isn't about turning my mind off. It's more about, I guess, letting the thoughts just flow freely and not let them bother you. Does that make any sense?
It does. As far as for meditating, for me though, I try to concentrate my mind. I try to think or organize my thoughts, which is what I try to do because I feel like it's so scattered all the time. So it's really hard for me to meditate. They said that when you start meditating that you should try focusing on something, maybe your breathing or object or something. And then once you start to veer off of that, then to refocus on it, which is a real problem for me because I can't focus on anything.
Yeah. Yeah. I went through some guides actually on YouTube when I first started meditating, and they were pretty helpful. I mean, there's so many different ones. I don't know if I have a specific style of meditation, but I don't let go. I let be.
What do you think about clearing your mind or whatever? Because like when I try to clear my mind, a lot of things come to me. So if I try to think, okay, clear is water. Water is blank. I'll just keep going that. Or if I think, okay, clear your mind. Nothing is darkness. Darkness is black. Black is this.
Yeah, and it just keeps going. I see what you're saying, but I approach it in a different way. And by that, I mean, like I'm talking about letting be, and I just let the thoughts flow. I don't block anything out, and I don't try to force myself to think about anything in particular. Mm-hmm. I just let them flow, and
So with that style of meditation, what exactly is the goal of it? Because I mean, my goal is obviously to organize my thoughts and be in control of my mind. If you just let everything flow, what exactly is the goal of that type of meditation?
You know, I'm not sure about a goal. I see you're saying you try to collect your thoughts together.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if I'm not trying to collect thoughts. I guess I'm really not sure about a goal.
Yeah.
So. Huh.
All right. Well, I'll try that method too and see where it gets me. I just feel like, because I mean, there's nights where I try to sleep and I literally can't get to sleep. I'll lay there for hours just thinking and thinking and thinking, and that's where that control comes into play, where I feel like I need to be able to manage my thoughts, otherwise they're just gonna overwhelm me.
Yeah.
I actually, a few people point me out on this, but I actually walk around all day with earphones in, and they're always like, you know, why are you listening to music? And most of the time I'm not listening to music. It's just a tool that I use to actually concentrate my thoughts, because once I take them out, I hear everything, and it's just, I feel like the world is so loud to me when it's not really necessarily that loud.
I see. So are you going to try to just let be? No goal? Going to give it a shot?
I'll definitely give it a shot. I feel like the reason I even tried to control it is because obviously I did let my mind be, but I mean, maybe I just went the complete opposite direction of where I should have, and trying to control that. But yeah, I'll definitely give that a shot.
Yeah, when I let be, there's no goal, but it's very peaceful. I find peace, I guess. Even when there's thoughts flowing by that might be stressful, it just goes by. It doesn't affect me, and it's extremely peaceful.
So do you think you've ever, like, what would you describe your mind like? If you had to describe your mind.
Describe my question. Mind.
Yeah, that, like, so when you meditate, like, what do you see?
Well, you know what? I feel like when I get close to seeing anything, I get excited, and it forces it to disappear. Do you see something? Do you see things while you meditate?
I try to, at least, if I can get past the layer of organizing my thoughts, I actually see layers that I'm trying to, like, dive into different layers of my brain, so, like, I can see my, you know, inner self-conscious or whatever, and, it's kind of a weird experience, because I can see myself standing in the middle of this nothingness, and I'm just trying to, it's weird, it's almost like I'm meditating inside of my own mind. So, I see myself inside my mind in the lotus position, trying to dive deeper inside of my mind. It's almost like a weird paradox.
Where so I you just, actually, you see that? It's a visual?
Yeah, it's definitely a visual. Okay. I don't, like, when I try to organize my thoughts, for instance, I see everything that I'm thinking, and it's almost like a dream where you control everything that happens, because when I try to organize my thoughts, like, giant file cabinets will come up in front of me. I promise. No, not attack me. Fucking retard. Then everything that I'm thinking, it's all, like, structured, and all this information is flying around me in, like, this vortex and organizing itself in all these different cabinets, and that's kind of how I try to go about it. I'm really surprised how much is actually going on when I stop to reflect about how jungled up my mind is, and honestly, everyone's mind is.
Yeah, you know, when you talk about visuals, I don't get that through meditation by itself. I would like to achieve something like that, but I think when I get close, I scare it away, or I scare myself away. But on psychedelics, when I meditate on a psychedelic, I definitely go to the same place, and it's always it's a weird place. It's kind of hard to explain, but there's different, like, passageways, and, like, I feel like I'm just get each entry point that I enter, I feel like I'm getting closer to myself and learning more about myself, and that is, like, that I think you're able to get to a point of meditation, like I'm talking about when I'm on a psychedelic. I think you can do that without it, but I'm not sure how to get there yet.
That sounds like a really, really interesting concept. I actually saw something like that on a show, and I can't remember the name of it, but it was actually about lucid dreaming, and that was one of the visuals that the person had seen. He had he realized that he was dreaming, which allowed him to take control of his dream. And so he manifested this hallway that was full of doors, and each door led to a different part of his conscious, which I thought that was really, really cool, and I've always tried to induce that effect on myself.
Where did you see this?
I cannot remember it.
If you can find it out, I'll put it in the show notes, and I'll give it a I'll look at it too.
I could be wrong. I believe it was the human body pushing the limits. And I'm not sure which episode exactly it was, so I apologize for that.
All right. So, yeah, what are you going to, next time you meditate, what are you going to do? Same thing? You going to try something new, or?
I mean, I'll try to let my thoughts flow. The problem is I'm not sure where they're flowing to. I don't get what you mean by just letting your thoughts flow. Do they disappear once they happen? Is it just gone after it flows? Or
it's gone only because there's so much going on that they're just passing by, just saying hello. And they just, you know, take off. And I just, you know, there's a lot going on, so I just let be.
See, that's the problem with me. When it goes by and says hello, it doesn't go away. It circulates, you know. So mm-hmm. You're right, it goes by, it says hello, the next thought comes by, but it jumps back at the end of the line and it recirculates. Mm-hmm. So I feel like I need to organize it into a specific area where it's like I don't need to focus on that. That's unimportant information. Put it in the file cabinet and we won't revisit this one.
Okay.
It's really like that, I promise you. It's it's kind of odd, but as far as psychedelics, I personally haven't had huge experience with it. The one
so
major...
So you don't have many experiences with psychedelics, but you're going to jump into the jungle, in the Peruvian jungle, and try ayahuasca here.
Hey, I'm trying to build up to that. I don't want to just dive head in there.
So what are you going to do to prepare for ayahuasca?
The isolation tank is one of the biggest things that I'm excited for. It's actually...
Are you going in just the tank or are you using some kind of tool?
To tell the truth, I would honestly rather do the tank first just to see what it's like. But I have absolutely no problem doing the edibles first just to see what that's like. The thing with the isolation tank that really intrigues me is... For anyone that doesn't really know what an isolation tank is, it's also known as a sensory deprivation tank. And what it is it's a tank that's filled with water. It's heated to your body temperature, so you're, as far as touch, you don't feel the water itself. And it's filled with Epsom salt, so you're always going to be floating. So it feels like you don't feel the water at all. It's heated to your body temperature. It's dark, and there's no sound at all. Hence sensory deprivation tank, because you don't have any senses. And what's really cool about the sensory deprivation tank is once your brain doesn't have anything to hold on to reality, it doesn't have any physical or tangible sense to hold on to reality, it starts to create its own reality. So that's what I think is going to be really interesting to see, since I'm such a visual person as far as meditating.
Yeah, things might get a little weird in there, but you know.
Yeah,
should be a good time. That's coming up soon. We'll talk about that after we go. I've been in the tank a few times. I'm going to go for my longest the next time we go, and I'm going to go on an edible. So we'll see how that goes when I get the Chiba Chew.
Yeah, that's the one thing that I'm kind of concerned about getting my, since I have such random and jumbled up thoughts, I just feel like I'm not going to be able to concentrate long enough to actually get an experience out of it. I'll just be thinking about how dark it is and how dark is black and black is this. And I don't know. I mean, obviously I haven't gone through the experience yet. So, I mean, I can't really comment on what I'm going to see or anything, but that's what I feel like is going to happen.
Okay. Are you doing anything else to prepare you besides the tank? Besides the first, you say you're going to go to the tank normally, then you might try an edible. Is there anything else? I think something about maybe 5 grams. I was thinking something like that, right?
That was definitely the next step. That was definitely the next step. I'm going to dive head into a 5 gram shroom experience. And that's going to be very interesting, which I can't. The reason I'm so excited for isolation tank is because it really is the next step and I can almost comprehend what's going to happen. The reason I can't really comment on the mushroom trip is because I haven't had anything else to compare it to. So it's almost
like...
You
had a minor psychedelic experience, but nothing like a 5 gram psilocybin.
Which
kapow.
Which to a person that has had that experience, when you say you've had a minor psychedelic experience, it's like, I don't know what a minor psychedelic, yeah, that was a major thing, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Which, if I want to explain this experience, it was the craziest thing ever. Honestly, it was just marijuana. Not quite sure what kind it was, but...
Oh, I was talking about the other time, but yeah, you're talking about the one Wiz Khalifa bong hit that led to... madness.
We were, you know, a bunch of friends in a room. We were passing the bong around, and I took a very, very large,
large. Is that your first time hitting a bong?
Yeah, it was. It was actually okay. My first time hitting a bong.
And
it
was a massive hit.
And it was a very massive hit, and I probably shouldn't have taken that. But to describe this experience, and I've tried to explain this to Tim before, so maybe I can do a little better now. When I took this gigantic inhale of this marijuana, and I immediately started coughing, which is, you know, obviously a side effect of taking such a huge hit like that. And my recollection of this event is he passed it to me. He asked me if I wanted to take another, and I said, no, I'll wait until it goes around again. All the same time, I'm still... coughing and I can't stop coughing at all. I'm not sure if this really happened in reality or if it was just in my head, but I started blinking a lot and I could not stop blinking really, really fast, really rapid blinking. And it was almost like when you blink, you don't really realize that you're blinking. But in this situation, it was almost as though I was trapped inside myself, watching myself blink a lot, and I couldn't tell if it was happening or not. So I asked the guys, is this really happening, or, you know, am I just making some shit up?
And one of the guys with us told him he was blinking really fast, but really, like, at least from what I saw, his eyes were just closed, and I mean, that's what I saw.
So this is where it gets really difficult to explain, because... the middle of this, I remember the beginning and I remember the end, but the middle is the part that's really, really sketchy and I can't really recall. But it was almost like I kept dying and being reborn, only different shapes. I was seeing very vivid colors and shapes. It was like a kaleidoscope. I would get crunched down into the shape and then re-expanded into another shape, crunched back down into different colors, different shape, and re-expanded. But it was weird because it was a very painful experience at the time, and I wasn't sure why it was happening and how to stop it. But reflecting on it now, I feel like I would like to go back there and see why what happened. But after that, for some reason, I was spit back into reality, quotations. But I was stuck in a time loop, so everything that would happen would keep repeating itself over and over and over. So Tim would ask me, you know, are you okay? I'd say, yeah, I'm okay. And just that same scene, are you okay? You know, reaching out at me, are you okay? I'm like, yes, I'm okay. All right. And I'm just stuck.
He kept coming back and, like, losing it, and he would, like, start flailing. We would have to hold him down. So we weren't sure what was going on, but... he came back eventually.
Yeah, and that's another thing. I don't know at what point this whole experience, if you want to call it that, ended. So, I mean, to this very day, I'm still wondering, is something that I'm doing going to repeat itself? At some point, I thought maybe I'm dead, or maybe I'm in a coma, and this is what I'm stuck with. I'm stuck with my own mind repeating the same experience, and there's no way for me to change it. And... it's just a really weird thing to go through, and it really intrigued me enough to obviously take the next couple steps to see if I can dive deeper into that kind of experience.
Yeah, that's the second time I've seen somewhat of a psychedelic, I guess you could say, experience from marijuana, and I haven't really looked into it. I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of information online, and I know I've seen it. But yeah, it's kind of wild. Talking about psychedelic experiences, though, I had a very, 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 very profound, great psychedelic experience recently that ended up disastrous. You know about it. People know about it. I have no shame about it. It was very, very much needed, I guess. Not the ending, but basically, to sum it up, it really solidified my belief in the golden rule. You know,
what's the golden
rule? Just to be cool to everybody, be nice to everybody, love everybody. You don't know about anybody. I would see people, like, during the psychedelic experience, I would look at people and thoughts would flow through my head on, like, ways I would stereotype them in the past, and they would just flow through, and I'd be like, why would I even think like that? And it was just, I don't know, it was kind of a wake-up call. I mean, I don't have a problem really stereotyping people,
yeah,
but it really brought it, you know, to my attention, you know.
And it happens to the best of us. I try to be the most positive and non-judgmental person that I can be, but just the societal thoughts that have been planted in my head are always there to haunt me, and I really try to shy away from that, but it's one of the many things that I can't control as far as my thoughts. You're just a judgmental person. That's just how you were brought up to be, and it's a really hard thing to change something that's been drilled into your head all of your life.
Yeah, now more than ever. I mean, I try to smile at everybody, you know, I try to be nice to everybody, but it really, really woke me up, like, everybody. I don't care who you are, you know what I mean? Just smile at strangers, you know, be nice to everybody. It doesn't matter who they are.
But that's the one thing, that's the one part of being who I am, or a human being, is I can easily be nice to everyone, and I can easily pretend that I love or like everyone, but the hardest thing to conquer is myself.
Okay.
So as I'm smiling at this person, I'm thinking, oh my God, you know, this person's so ugly, or oh my God, this person's so annoying. You know, it's just, that's the type of thing that I dislike about myself. I want to be the conqueror and controller of my own, you know, well, inner battle. The fact
that you know that, and you're willing to say that, you know, I mean, you're headed in the right way.
I know, that's just the hardest part about it. Is you have to you literally have to restructure your entire, all your neurological connections, and just change who you've been, you know, all of your life, all of your existence is just, you've been around this stuff, so.
So you say you look at people and you're like, oh my God, this guy's ugly, as you're looking directly at me in this conversation. So directly, are you trying to, like, are you trying to give me
ugly
a
fucker?
So that's what we're saying here. Okay, I'm just making sure here. So not
you and necessarily, but even if it's someone I've never known, or just the fact that I'm an extreme believer in the law of attraction, or it's kind of a karma thing. So what you send out is what you receive, what goes around comes around, things like that. And the law of attraction kind of says that thoughts become energy, they create things, they manifest things. So your primary thought is going to bring back to you what you send out to the universe. So I feel like until I can control something like that, because if I'm thinking all these negative things, I'm acting it out positively, but I'm sending the wrong energy out, and I feel like that's eventually going to come back to haunt me, whether this life or the next.
You talk about the law of attraction and how the universe has these weird ways of working, and it just reminds me of weird events. For instance, say you're on any type of social media, and you stumble across this person that you haven't seen for so long. You haven't even seen, like, a tweet or a Facebook post or anything,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And then you see that, and then for some reason that day, boom, there they are at the store, at the coffee shop. You know what I mean?
And that's one of the really cool things about it is if it's something that's not very hard, or it doesn't take a lot of energy to manifest, it manifests faster. So, like, if it's something that's extremely unlikely to happen, if I were to think about an elephant isn't going to pop up in the middle of the table and, you know, start charging around.
Maybe, though.
Maybe, but that's the whole beauty of it. There isn't instant manifestation. There's manifestation, but not instantly. And that gives us time to change our mind about some of the decisions that we make, because obviously, look at the negative that, like I was saying, if I'm thinking I want this person to die and they die, then it's like, oh crap, I didn't mean it. I didn't mean it. Bring it back. It's too late. They're gone. So it gives us a little bit of time to concentrate on those thoughts and make them stronger by continuously thinking the same thing and acting as though it already happened. And that's what's kind of cool about the law of attraction. You have that time to kind of regather your thoughts and master yourself, as what I'm trying to do.
When you say law of attraction, could you attract like-minded individuals?
I think that's a very, very likely outcome, because I've always thought kind of introspectively, philosophically, just I've always thought like the way that I do. And I find the more and more that I voice that thought, and the more I concentrate on the fact that I do think like this, the more people I attract like that. Because for a very long time, you know, we didn't even know each other thought the way that we did, and it led us to each other. Most of the people that I talk to have, to some degree, the intelligence that it takes to have a very good conversation with me, and yeah. I don't think that's a coincidence.
Yeah, it is kind of weird how we just kind of stumbled on, you know, into each other. I was actually his boss for a little while, and I don't know, we would get into these, you know, talks, and we would just talk, and I think you were actually with Ryan Pliskota, the guy that's coming on the podcast on Sunday, and I think we were talking about religion, and I looked at you and I said, "I'll show you God."
Sounds
and,
likely.
And you said, "I think you said, I'm waiting for someone to change my mind or something."
Okay, that sounds about something I would like say. That.
I didn't really mean I was going to show you God, but I knew it would get your attention. Yeah, you're knocking that with your leg.
All right, yeah, I got it. All right.
Okay, well, so that happened, and you agreed to hang out with me. I don't even think words were said, like, hey, do you want to hang out or whatever? Well, anyways, we meet up. Nothing was said about anything that we were doing.
Oh, yes. Okay, I remember now. So I'm on the same page.
We buy a bunch of berries, wash the berries up. You still have no idea what's going on. I mean, you have an idea that something's going to happen.
You just tell me you're going to show me some great experience. I have no idea what's going to happen.
Show you something cool. And then we go on our way, and I bust out some little papers, and you do it. You're crazy. I could have killed you. What's wrong with you?
That's probably another thing that's not very good of me. I'm a very, very, very trusting person.
Yeah.
And which it's good, but it's bad, because I mean, it's good that you trust people and, you know, you care about people enough to trust them, but it's bad because there's some people out there that take advantage of you, and you might find out the hard way that this person isn't trustworthy, instead of just not trusting them right away. So, I mean, I just had full faith in that you...
Yeah, you are very, very trustworthy. I mean, we talked about getting this podcasting equipment, and it was there's a big price tag. And all I did was tell you over the phone, this is how much it is. What do you want to do? And you spit the number back out, half of it. And I'm like, okay, I could have made that number up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I know you trusted me, but I still felt the need to, like, show you the receipt. You know what I mean?
See, yeah.
And I wanted to, you know, make sure you knew everything was good. But, yeah, you are a very... At least I feel like you trust me a lot. I mean, I don't know if that's like with everybody, but it's mutual. So
unfortunately, like our system, you know, you're supposed to be not guilty until proven wrong. I mean, our system shows otherwise the way that we treat people, but that's kind of how I go. Unless you've done something wrong to me, there's no reason that I should ever, you know, distrust you or dislike you.
Yeah, the whole system needs a fucking facelift.
It does. We kind of got off topic, though, about that other experience.
Okay, so where were we about that experience?
You could have killed
me. Oh, basically, toilet paper. Yeah, I could have killed you, but I mean, fucking that crazy was a...
psycho.
That was a good time. I had a good time.
Would you want to explain what exactly happened to make us have that good time?
a little LSD, a little help from LSD. So, all
yeah. right. So now that that's out there, let me tell you about the experience that I had. It wasn't a whole lot. Like you said, there were like little pieces of paper kind of blotted with it. Nothing like insanely ridiculous. But as far as my experience with that was,
by the way, we do all of these things where it's legal. We travel, you know, and then we go do it somewhere else. Yeah. And then we come back and talk about it. Well, go ahead.
Definitely. So we were at this beautiful park. I can't even recall the name of it, to tell the truth. But my experience with this was everything became very, very vivid. My senses were all enhanced. I could feel the wind blowing the hairs on my arms. It was just that intense. I felt like my vision was multiplied. I could see spider webs from way far back. And I'm like, wow, what the heck is going on with this? The part where it gets crazy is we actually, you know, we're sitting kind of over a cliff and we're just looking at, you know, the horizon, the separation between the ocean and the sky, and the clouds are up there, and it's, we're just talking, and things just started getting like wavy, I want to say. Like, it started getting, the line between the ocean, the sky, the clouds, the ground, it all started becoming one. It was just blurry. It started waving. Everything was like almost alive. And this is where I started realizing that trees were breathing. It almost looks like the bark was expanding and contracting like a human breath, like it was alive. The leaves were waving in the wind. It was just all, it was a very, very vivid and beautiful thing that I saw that day. I felt as though I started melding with the earth. I was becoming one with the planet, and I could see that the planet was actually pissed, to tell the truth, with all the atrocities that that human beings are creating on it, which that was really sad. But I was also seeing these patterns. They were almost like symbols. I want to say letters, but I don't know if they were numbers or letters, but they were symbols that were not like anything that I've ever seen. And the thing about the symbols is when I tried to look at them, when I tried to focus on them and see what they looked like, they would morph out of shape into something else, and I could never fully concentrate on them. It was a really weird, but that was my experience that day.
Yeah, I know what you mean about the patterns. They always come, and I always try to make them out, but they go too fast. They change.
But yeah, as far as what I saw in the earth was the earth was pissed at us. It was almost like the earth, it wasn't like a peaceful me melding with the earth. It was like the earth swallowed and engulfed me so that it could get rid of this cancer that's on it. And it was kind of scary, but intriguing at the same time, because it just made me realize that we aren't any different from animals on this planet. We inhabit this planet. Everything that we are and have ever known has happened on this one blue dot. Nothing ever has happened extra, you know. Everything that we know has happened on this planet, give or take a few steps on the moon. You know, so it's like we should be treating this planet like the most precious thing that has ever existed in the universe, because it is to us. We don't know anything else, so we should not be destroying it the way that we are. And that's something that I try to personally work on too.
Yeah, I agree. Now, saying that the planet is pissed, to you, what is the worst thing that we as people, I guess, are doing to the earth? Not we, but, you know, what's the worst thing that's going on right now that's affecting everything?
It's such a combination of things that I honestly couldn't tell you. I don't know. I don't have the research to point to one specific thing, but I mean, it's just a mixture of everything. There's fracking, there's nuclear bombs, there's the emissions from cars, there's waste from things that aren't being recycled, just sitting in compost piles that can't be decomposed for years upon years. It's so many things everywhere that it's just a buildup. And at some point, we're not going to be able to reverse the effects. And the earth will heal just fine after it gets rid of us, is the thing.
You know, fracking is a big one that not many people are aware about. Are you able to kind of explain?
Okay, so fracking is I believe it's hydraulic drilling, when they use a I believe it's a diamond drill, and they literally, it's called fracking, it fractures the earth, and they're pumping all this sand and all these different mixtures of chemicals so that they can break up natural gas and extract it from the earth. And the problem with this is, one, all the chemicals that they're using, most of which they can't clean up. There's just no way. There's too many different mixtures of it. But it's getting into some of these people's drinking water. And the drinking water is actually so bad that they can literally light the stuff on fire.
Yeah, I've seen some of those videos online of people lighting their drinking water right out of their faucet.
On fire. That's yeah. fucking nuts.
That can't be good.
That's not good. It can't be that, good. That's for flamethrowers, maybe, but that's not good, dude. That's just not good at all. So, I mean, that's, like I said, if we don't start taking care of the earth will take care of us, because honestly, it doesn't take a lot for the earth to wipe us out. Damn near everything can kill us. Hurricanes, tornadoes, tsunamis, volcanoes, fucking hailstorms of fire. You know, you never know what could happen, but the earth will eventually fix itself. It's going to solve the problem of humanity if we don't start treating it better.
Even beyond the fact of treating it better, we got to start treating each other better.
Well, yeah. That's,
there's so much hate. That would take longer. So much negative energy that would take longer because of all these ideologies. Political ideologies, religion.
Yeah, I knew that was coming up.
I mean, it's just separating us so much. It's crazy that, in my opinion, like, if we're talking politics, if you consider yourself a Republican, I think you're losing. If you consider yourself a Democrat, I think you're losing. I don't think you need to pick.
The problem is that everything is a competition. Our society has pulled the sheet over our face, obviously, and just taught us that you're on your own, basically. You have to survive, and it's survival of the fittest, right? But the problem is that doesn't match up with how the human being is made to work. If you see someone, you personally, Tim, if you see someone get kicked in the balls, what's the first thing you do? Oh, holy shit, that hurt. Why is that? Why do you feel the pain that the other person just took? Because obviously he's not in that alone. You're feeling that pain with him. You're starting, you know, you're understanding what he's going through. Why do you, when you're in a room with just another person and they're behind you, why do you know that they're staring at the back of your head? Why can you feel that? Because we're linked in some way or another. Everything is linked. And I don't think that we should be alone. I think we all should be working together towards a common goal. Mm-hmm. What that common goal is, it doesn't matter. We can accomplish absolutely anything that we want to. We're the fucking human race, the smartest, intelligent people, or quotations, the most intelligent beings on this planet.
Maybe.
You know, there's, you know, octopus are kind of smart too, you know, but you never know. But the thing is, you know, working together, we can accomplish anything. We've been one country, we made it to the moon, you know, we sent rovers to Mars, but that's just us alone. Imagine if we had the aggregate, everything, you know, everyone all together.
One consciousness. We talked about that. Yeah, that'd be wild. We could definitely accomplish anything. Anything. When I say anything, I mean anything.
It's so crazy, but it's true. I mean, words like impossible should not even exist at all. You should just, everyone take your dictionaries, just find the word impossible in the dictionary, and it doesn't matter what's behind it because it's already tainted by the word impossible. Just cut it out because it shouldn't even exist. The word impossible is nothing. That's all it is.
The fact that this podcast here, like, this would be considered impossible, you know, back in the day.
2 days ago, this was impossible, you know?
Exactly.
This is a new... Impossible is absolutely nothing. Because just a week ago, this podcast didn't exist. It was impossible for us to start a podcast. But look, it's here.
Yeah, we said we were going to do it, and here we are.
Over 400, almost 500,000 views, first podcast. What was that podcast made out on? It was made on an iPad.
We talked into an iPad.
And here we are later with 3 microphones, headphones, computers, all kind of crazy stuff. And this podcast is full blown right now.
To the moon.
To the moon.
Yeah, you know, we just want to you know, have fun while we have conversations. People might be interested in listening to what we have to say. Hopefully, I mean, the first one, we just kind of winged it. We're pretty much going to wing everything, not in a bad way, but there's no topics. But obviously when we have an artist and a CrossFitter come on, we're going to dive into those topics, but it's not going to be, there's no format. We're just conversating. and that's why it's so fun. Like today we went to work and we're like, hey, we're gonna make a podcast later. We're gonna make episode 2.
And my crazy ass is always all in, whatever it is. Hey, we're gonna do 5 grams. All right, I'm in.
Hey, we're gonna do ayahuasca. Oh yeah, dude. Ayahuasca, bro.
What's really cool about the trip for ayahuasca, which I don't know if I want to really get into the explanation of what it is yet, but what happened with this, it's a trip to Peru. What ayahuasca, the thing we're doing, is in Peru. And I just remember the car ride, and we're talking about the fact that human beings can do absolutely anything they want and should do anything that they want. Kind of.
But holy crap. I just remembered when we started talking about ayahuasca, that's when we first met.
Yeah.
That was right in the beginning. I totally forgot because it took us so long to actually, you know, get things squared away. But wow, I brought up ayahuasca. I think you watched a documentary and we talked about it again. And you're like, let's do it. And I looked at you and I'm like,
This guy's crazy.
Let's do it. And then I'm just thinking, like,
and here we are going to Peru first week of June.
I know this is gonna be crazy.
and the thing about that is, it's just gonna set the standard. Like, there's no turning back. Once we've decided that we're going to Peru and we're going to do ayahuasca, we can't back down from anything else we say we're going to do. It's just over from then on, you know?
We do have that that similarity in that we do what we say.
We can't back down. When we follow through, I can't say if, when we follow through with this ayahuasca thing, that sets the standard. There's no backing down from our dreams. Whatever you want to accomplish, go out and do it.
I have no idea what to expect from ayahuasca. I just hope, you know, I hope to come back with something great.
I hope to come back.
So my parents actually listened to the first podcast. They don't think I'm gonna make it back. I don't think they realize how long ayahuasca like ceremonies have been going on since before we were even born.
Depends on what you mean by make it back.
Make it back as in they think I'm gonna die there. Not as in I might want to stay in Peru, because that's obviously something that can happen. We don't know.
I don't even mean that, but I mean you might not make it back in the same state of consciousness that you arrived in, or that you left in. You might come back. You might still be in that same dimension when you come back, and who knows? It could be a better dimension. They could make you a new person. You know, you might not make it back. You don't know.
From my first psychedelic experience, I became a totally different human being. And it's from what I see as the better. I mean, there are some people that might say otherwise, but, you know, I think I'm a better person now, and I feel like I'm a better person, and I try to always improve on being a better person.
Oh, well, I was, like, getting distracted by my cords here.
Oh, yeah. Hey, we got to do something. I mean, we got a quick little setup because we moved all this stuff right before we started recording.
I'm really surprised how
you
fast
keep
we
bumping
got this
that cord.
Yeah, that's why I was looking at yours. You got yours kind of, but we'll talk about it.
Yeah,
but yeah, I'm really surprised how fast we put this all together and actually started recording. Honestly, we brought it up, set it up, cords in, plug stuff in, and we're good to go,
there
man.
We go.
First time on the equipment, so
yeah. We also plan on going live soon. I got to figure out bandwidth and all that kind of stuff. We want to get some video going, maybe some Ustream, have some, you know, live interaction with some of our listeners.
Yeah, so ladies and gentlemen, keep watching our shit. It's going to get better each time we figure this shit out.
Yeah, sometimes, like, when it's just me and my co-host Adele, we're just going to shoot the shit and talk. It's still cool, at least to us, you know, it's a good time. DJ's going to be on here all the time, and we're just going to shoot the shit, you know?
Just fucking your mind up all day. You're going to be like, wow, this guy, he put a condom on? He's fucking my mind all day.
Dude, you know what, though? My last psychedelic trip that I was talking about, I had like full body orgasm. Like it just stayed, and it was so.
What the fuck does that feel like? I want to have a full body orgasm. What the fuck?
I didn't even have a regular orgasm last time I tripped. But yeah, man, this is a really cool thing. I'm really glad we're following through with this. You know, like I said, we just got to keep setting milestones and following through with what we talk about. Shit, we might have to start thinking about what's after ayahuasca. But the only reason I'm not is because shit,
I don't know what to expect.
Who knows what we're gonna want to do after ayahuasca?
Dude, man, things might change completely. Yeah, I mean, we really have no idea. It's like kind of scary. But, you know, I think I'm ready for it. I don't know. Can you be ready for ayahuasca, or do you just have to go into it?
Like I said, I'm not even in the mindset to be able to answer that because I haven't, like, you've had more experiences than me. So you kind of know not what to expect, but to a degree that you're going to be thrown into something. And I'm not quite sure what that means yet. So
once you hit that 5 grams up, you will know. You're doing that by yourself, dark room, eyes closed, right?
Yeah, I mean,
I'll babysit and I'll take care of you like I did.
I mean, you're my shaman, dude.
It's kind of funny to think about that, just because I introduced you to that.
It's crazy. Like, who uses the word shaman?
I know it is kind of weird. And it's weird when you tell people like, oh yeah, I'm going to Peru, I'm gonna be with a shaman, and I'm gonna do this.
Like, that's like so out of the norm
to me. Like, the person that introduced me to psychedelics, that's like my shaman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's kind of
that's, and he'll be on here too, definitely.
But yeah, it's so like the word shaman itself. Like, when's the last time you guys have heard shaman?
World of Warcraft.
Probably. Fucking
wow, shamans.
Yeah. So like, and it's so out of the norm. So it's like, I mean, whatever the definition of norm is.
What I'm actually surprised about is how many people know about ayahuasca.
Yeah, I'm kind of a nut. I just go around asking everyone. Tim's like, he's kind of like, oh dude, you shouldn't bring that up to everyone. But
I'm pretty open about like my use with psychedelics, and I'm pretty open about explaining why I do it and what I've benefited by using, you know, different psychedelics. And you know, most people aren't as weirded out by it as I thought would be. And then I start meeting people that they're like, oh, you do that?
What? You want to know why? Because we are entering the no bullshit era.
That's true.
Where everything is transparent, and which is, it's really kind of sad, because as far as drugs, you know, things like marijuana and all the other psychedelics, they're listed, you know, well, not all of them, but marijuana is listed as a Schedule 1 drug. Which, in order for this drug to be Schedule 1, it has to be extremely addictive, and it has to have, you have to have absolutely no medical benefits. That's one of the definitions of a Schedule 1 drug, and it has to meet that criteria for it to be Schedule 1. So people are, you know, people are smoking marijuana all day, every day. You know, there's crazy amounts of marijuana going around, and they're like, what the fuck? This isn't what the fuck they're telling me this is. And now what's bad is now they're going to question all the things that actually do fuck you up. You know, all these opiates and everything, they're going to be like, oh, it's just like marijuana. They said it's as bad. It's not really as bad as they think it is, you know?
Yeah.
And they'll try that and fuck their lives up. That's what's really sad about that. But,
yeah, it'll be interesting to get my buddy on here who's going to tell his story about falling.
Yeah, and I'm really, really, really interested to see that conversation. And I'll hold off on some of the things I have to say right now, because I have to ask him some questions too. But yeah, as far as like drugs and everything, it's kind of crazy how they set this up, and people are more understanding about your use of psychedelics, because they just don't accept bullshit anymore, and they realize that this stuff is not as bad as everyone says. And keep in mind, ladies and gentlemen, I do my research before I do anything, so I would encourage you to do the same. Don't just dive right into something that you're not ready for.
Anytime I tell this guy anything, he pulls out the little smartphone, pulls out the notepad, and writes it down, and then he does what he says. He researches it, and you know.
So like, anytime Tim gives me new information about something, and it's not as though I don't trust him, because I've, as we stated before, I mean, I trust the guy a lot. But sometimes it interests me, sometimes I just want to know more about it, but I find out more information about what he tells me about, and then the next day we can have a full conversation about this, you know, man to man, level to level conversation about this.
Crazy thing is, like, I dive into all these different things, you know. And can you agree with that?
Yeah,
I know, sure. A lot of people that know me can agree with that, and I'll throw some information at you and you research it, and then I'll learn more about what I was telling you from you. Really, like, it's
awesome, dude. Yeah, it's just how it works out, man.
And going back to marijuana, what's crazy about them saying there's no health benefits, like, we know without a fucking doubt that there are fucking health benefits. Yeah.
And that's, like I said, that's where they fucked up. I mean, they're telling us this stuff and people believed it for a very long time. So when you finally start to realize that everything that you've known was a lie, and I'm exaggerating, but once you realize that these people that you trust, this huge government, they know everything, you know, when you find out that they lied to you, you start not to trust other things that they tell you. You know, maybe we didn't really start this war for a good reason. Maybe this drug isn't bad. Maybe communism is good. I mean, I'm just throwing stupid shit out, but, you know, you start to not to trust things that they're saying. So
it's crazy to me that it is easier to do studies with psilocybin and MDMA over marijuana. Marijuana is the hardest drug to do studies on. That doesn't make any sense at all.
And to this day, I still can't explain the exact reason that they banned it. I've heard multiple things. There was a newspaper company that started printing articles saying that black guys would go out. William Randolph
Hearst.
Yeah, he printed articles saying that black guys would smoke marijuana, go out and rape white women. Yeah. But I've also heard that they banned it because they feared that it would take over the cotton industry and they didn't want that to happen. And I mean, I've heard a lot of things. Who knows which one is true? I'm not advocating either story. Maybe. Yeah, maybe it's a little bit of everything. But the thing is, hemp, they messed up because they didn't just ban marijuana. They banned hemp. And hemp is what you don't want to ban because that is one of the number one cash crops that exist. It would beat out corn and wheat combined. There's so many different uses for it. I mean, you can eat the stuff. You can dress in the stuff. I mean, it can be made for clothing, lotions, paper. I mean, how many people knows that the Declaration of Independence is written on hemp paper, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, they really messed up with that. And, I mean, hopefully a lot of people start to see how much prosperity Colorado is going to go through with legalizing hemp and marijuana and follow suit.
Thinking about Colorado and recreational use and the fact that they weren't allowed to use banks... What?
Which they learned their lesson.
they're allowed to now, right?
Yes.
Okay, I thought I read that. I wasn't sure, but it was cool that some of those places were using Bitcoin. That's pretty cool. We're gonna have someone come on and explain Bitcoin, and hopefully we're live by then, because then, you know, you can ask questions and he can answer them live.
See, but the problem with that situation, with banks not accepting money for marijuana, I think it's the table shaking that makes it do that. But the problem with the banks not accepting money from these people that are legitimately selling marijuana is these people would walk around with huge, huge amounts of cash because they can't deposit in a bank. And then what happens is these people are obviously targeted because they have these huge amounts of cash, and then what they're going to do is print these articles saying, oh, look, you know, we legalize marijuana and it brings all this violence. Well, no, it's because you won't let these people put their money in a bank, and they're making millions and millions of dollars. Of course they're going to be targeted. There's a lot of idiots out there that want that money, you know? So
brings me to a thought I have. Well, I believe that you should be able to do whatever you want to your body. And it brings me to the Silk Road. And for those that don't know, there's something called the deep web. And to get into the deep web, you need a certain browser and you need a few things. And there was a place called the Silk Road. It got shut down. There's plenty of alternatives. And they're pretty much online marketplaces for any drug you can think of, from marijuana to heroin. And when I first heard about these online marketplaces, I was like, well, you know, you should be able to do whatever you want to your body. So, yeah, cool. And then we went to that Bitcoin presentation, and Tarek's wife brought up a very good point on the fact that that could have saved multiple lives. I never thought about it like that. She brought up the point where, you know, they're getting pure whatever they want, and they're not meeting somebody in a dark alley, you know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I really think that Silk Road and other alternatives probably did save, you know, a lot of lives.
Which, I mean, we'd have to go into a little bit more detail about Bitcoin itself, which I know you kind of want to hold off on. Because a lot of people might not know what you mean by peer-to-peer trading and people, you know, not having to meet on the streets. So we'll kind of save something like that until later. But, yeah, he's making a good point. We'll just keep posted for the next couple of podcasts, and you'll know exactly what he's talking about.
Yeah, it's on the allthingstimbo.com. If you go to the podcast tab and you look at the upcoming guests, Tarek, I think he's like the maybe 3 weeks or so, but that will be a great podcast. We're both, you know, very, I guess you could call us Bitcoin advocates or Bitcoin enthusiasts. We're really trying to push Bitcoin. We talk everybody we run into, you know, we bring up the podcast, we bring up Bitcoin, and those are two things we really believe in. So, you know, we're trying to
to the moon. Like I said, I'm the one that goes all out with everything that when I feel passionate about it, I feel like telling everyone about it. So now everywhere I go, I talk about Bitcoin or ayahuasca. So I'll go to any random place. Remember, we went to the pizza shuttle right after this meeting, and I asked the gentleman that was serving us or taking our order, did they accept Bitcoin? And it turns out he knew about Bitcoin, which is what was a really cool thing. He started telling me, oh dude, I wish we did. It's a global currency, and it'd be really cool. So even little things like that kind of spread word about Bitcoin too. And just this podcast alone, I mean, you might say, what the hell are they talking about, and be like me and research it. So
yeah, look into Bitcoin, and you know you're gonna learn more when we get Tarek on here. But look into it for yourself and get an idea for yourself. There's a lot of bullshit articles out there because a lot of journalists just spew out bad information. But you know, get an idea, and you'll learn a lot when Tarek comes on the podcast.
Word. Had to throw something stupid in there eventually. Breaking the intelligence, you know what I mean? But yeah, man, this is really cool.
Yeah, this is fun. I mean, it's just a conversation, but we share it with whoever wants to listen. So we're gonna keep doing this thing, and we're gonna take this to the moon. Right now, if you guys want to support the podcast, we're taking Bitcoin donations at allthingstimbo.com. You'll see the QR codes at the bottom. I've been banned from PayPal since, I don't know, years. So we're going to stick with Bitcoin. We're passionate about Bitcoin. We're going to stick with Bitcoin. Also, if you shop Amazon, you can support the podcast by shopping Amazon. Just go to allthingstimbo.com. Click on any of the Amazon links. You'll be directed to Amazon. Just shop like normal, and we'll get a kickback. So you'll be supporting the podcast by doing what you normally do. So, DJ.
All right.
You're an Amazon shopper.
I am a very start using the portal. Advent Amazon shopper. I probably order like 3 times a week, which is not good.
Yeah, I'm definitely working on some other sponsors to help the podcast out. And, you know, if anyone's interested in supporting, feel free.
Yeah. Here's to the second podcast. All right.
Yeah, it was fun, DJ. So you'll be on here all the time.
Yeah, I'll be on as much as possible. I got a pretty nice schedule with, you know, school and work and trying to make it to CrossFit and, you know, trying to put everything together with the podcast too. So I'll try to be on as much as I can. If not, I apologize sincerely. If you want to get in contact with me, I do have a Twitter. It's DJMax13, uppercase M after that. So DJMax13M, the M is uppercase after that. If they want to get in contact with you, Tim, it's
at Timbo March. That's on Twitter. Body by Timbo on Instagram. And allthingstimbo.com.
All right.
Check them all out. And
look at this guy. Got all the mediums. Well, all right, man.
You know what I want to do? I really want to roll again. I know you're getting into CrossFit, and CrossFit is lovely.
Yeah, yeah.
I love CrossFit, but I want to sneak in like a day, maybe once a week, maybe twice a week. We could roll.
Yeah, it was really fun.
Jiu-jitsu.
Yeah, when he's talking about rolling, it's just kind of a jiu-jitsu match, which is kind of on the floor kind of fighting style where you utilize the other person's body in different positions to subdue him and put them in different holds, choke holds, arm bars, things like that. And so a roll is just kind of a match or sparring match against, you know, a friend or something.
Once we get Dan Borvik on the podcast, he'll break it down. That man is a freak.
He's a purple now, right?
He's a purple belt that is beyond a purple belt. I mean, he's only like, the thing about jiu-jitsu is the belts, they mean something. You don't just get promoted for nothing. I mean, look how long Dan was a blue belt for. Dan was way beyond a blue belt.
Yeah.
Dan, oh man. So when I used to train jiu-jitsu, I was training for a decent amount of time, and I forget how I ran into Dan, but he was my brother's friend, and he wanted to roll, so we rolled in my basement. This is before he was training anywhere, and I had trouble, and I knew from that day, this guy, if he stuck with jiu-jitsu, he would be a freak, and he is on his way to becoming a world champion. Dan Borvik will be a jiu-jitsu world champion, and he'll be on the podcast soon. So,
so yeah, that's really cool. I had a lot of fun with our jiu-jitsu practices, and I think it'd be really cool to keep doing it because we did learn a lot. And I could always come, I'd go home, you know, look up some techniques or whatever, try it out, see how it works. We just learn off of each other, and that's just really cool. You just learn, the more you do it, the more you learn the different body mechanics, the different responses to go with each move, different defenses. You know, so it was really cool, and I'd love to keep doing that more. I definitely got to find some time to do a lot of things. So,
yeah. Well, you know, let's create some time. You know, that's what we're doing right now. So let's create some time. Let's do what we want to do.
Definitely, man.
Straight up. I had fun. And until next time, guys. AllThingsTimbo.com. This was episode 2. Tim Marchant, DJ Jackson. Keep the feedback coming. The feedback from the first episode was great. We're taking, you know, everyone's opinion, and we're going to just try to get better with each episode. So until next time, guys, allthingstimbo.com.
See you later, guys.